So as I mentioned at the very outset, I'd like to reflect today on power in the Catholic life. And I'll start with the teaching in the Bible, at least, in terms of power. It says that all power in heaven and on earth has been given over to Christ by the Father. And I'm guessing that most of us don't really believe that, because when you look out there into the world, it looks like a big mess some days. And if Christ has a lot of power, it doesn't look like he's exercising it. And I certainly don't get indication, looking at a crucifix, he's very powerful. It looks kind of weak to me. And so it's nice rhetoric, but who believes it? And that's why we need to reflect on power, to try to understand what we're talking about, and especially when we talk about love. Now, there's a purpose to the power of Christ. When we talk about the power of Christ, we are talking about, yes, a man who died, but he came back from the dead. That's a lot of power. That's a lot of power. Most people don't usually do that. And the other thing, however, about the power of Christ is he shares his power. There is, for example, parents have some degree of power over their children, or at least they should. I mean, we'd call a home rather out of line a little bit if the children were running the home. Parents are meant to have, you know, fourth commandment, honor your father and mother, etc. That's a kind of a power that's over the children. Medical professionals, to some degree, have power over their patients. Psychologists giving counsel, they have a certain power. Priests, when they do spiritual direction, there's a power differential there. And even politicians. Our politicians, they have some share in power. Some of them are more powerful than others, like the president would have a lot of power in the United States. And all of these are examples of ways in which we share in the power of Christ. But we also know that power can be abused. And for example, the last 10 years of priests who have abused their position of power in relationship to the people. You've read about some of that. It's rather disheartening and leads to some despondency, and maybe even some people say, I'm not hanging around anymore. It's an abuse of power. We've heard of abuse of power in families. It's no secret that sometimes parents get a little out of line with the children and exploit their vulnerability, and there's abuse there sometimes. We know that. And these are examples of worldly power. The way the world exercises power is different than the way Jesus exercises power. Jesus, we are given the reason and purpose for his power in today's second reading. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might have life through him. Now that tells us a lot right there. I'm going to read it again, in fact. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might have life through him. That's what his power is attempting to secure. Life, promotion of life, advancement of life, growing life instead of diminishing it. But we have a lot of people saying no to the Son today. And they're not coming to life, which means they're dead. And that's when we begin to understand what the Son of God coming into our world means. He didn't come to make bad people good. We're created good. It says that in the book of Genesis. God saw it was good. Bad people good? No, no, no. It's much more profound than that. He sent his son into the world to make dead people live. Let me read it again. God sent his only son into the world so that we might have life through him. Dead people live. So you say no to the Son of God, and you stay dead. And we have a lot of dead people in our culture today, and dead people hurt people. They give what they have, which is death. Just last week, we had 6 children shot right up here on Camp Bowie and Las Vegas Trail. Whoever did that, all they had in them was what they were giving. Death. Now, that's not how we're to use our power. I'm not meant to have power over you so I can take your life. No, I'm supposed to try to advance your life, promote it, grow it, help you become, have a fuller share in life. Now, this exercise of power then, in a worldly sense, is not in keeping with this understanding of God's exercise of power in Jesus Christ. So let me give you a real good example. This is like a grand example on a grand scale. Joseph Stalin was the premier of the Soviet Union for a number of years, and he was very powerful. And in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, in the West, especially in Britain, they were glamorizing communism and the ideology of Marx. They really, it's the best thing since sliced bread. It's so much better than capitalism. Until Alexander Solzhenitsyn published his 3-volume work, The Gulag Archipelago, The Gulag. He was in the Gulag, sent there by Stalin, and he published 3 volumes, about 600 pages each, about his experience. And it showed to the West, hey people, this is not as glamorous as you think it is. It's been awful. And here I got stories to tell. And in volume 2, he tells a story. Because whenever someone got into the gulag up in Siberia there, it was cold, they were underfed, millions of people died. And when someone new would come into the into the gulag, they would usually ask the person, what did you do to get here? Well, here comes a new fellow. How did you get here? Well, I was in the Politburo, that's the main governing body of the Soviet Union. Well, how did you get in here then? He said, well, we were in session. Joseph Stalin came out to the podium and we all stood and started clapping. 5 minutes. 10 minutes. 15 minutes. 20 minutes. And Joseph, he's just taking it in, until finally, someone stopped clapping and sat down, and everyone else joined them. I was the first one to stop clapping. That's why I was sent here. Now that's power. And Joseph Stalin, he had so much power, if you crossed his will, you were dead. That's power. That's power. No question that's power. It's a great abuse of power. We would call that corruption. But he had a lot of power. And, you know, we have so many people in our world today who want that kind of power. They're almost willing to sell their souls to the devil to get it. They want the ability to command people, to do their will, dominate them, control them. Last time I checked, Jesus isn't like that. He doesn't exercise power like Joseph Stalin. Last time I checked, He doesn't abuse power. It doesn't mean he's not powerful. But most people look at him and say, he's a weakling. Look at our Blessed Mother, my God, what a joke. Plaster of Paris up there. What good is she? She can't give me this kind of power. Well, let's talk about the power of the kingdom. I don't think we realize it, but it's the truth. Jesus Christ on the cross claimed absolute power over every single demon that exists. He defeated every single one of them on the cross. So that every single demon, including Satan himself, has to obey Christ no matter what he tells them. They must obey him. Now, every single one of the demons are fallen creatures. They're fallen. They have fallen away from God, and they're very powerful. Satan is really powerful. He's way more powerful than any one of us. You went hand to hand with him, you're going to lose. He's very powerful in the level of nature. There's no question of that. But see, a demon can never grow its power. All they have is what they have by nature. They can't grow their power, and yet, why does it seem to be increasing so much? We're giving it to them because we're abandoning Christ who defeated him. That's why. You want to know why he's getting so much power? We're giving it to him. Have your way with me. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might have life through him. And people are saying no to the Son of God, and they have a new master. Satan, the architect of death. Now, you and I, on the other hand, we can grow in power by growing in love. Whoever is without love does not know God, for God is love. Well, if you don't know God, you're without power to defeat anyone. And Stalin didn't know love. He was not a lover. How is it that an archangel, Michael, could throw a seraphim, Satan, out of heaven? He's outgunned on the level of nature. Do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan. That's how he does it. The power of God. That's how a weaker angel on the level of nature defeats a more powerful angel. But let's take that down even further. How is it possible that every single demon is overpowered by the woman, Mary? How's that possible? She's a human being. Nature to nature, she's outgunned like that's a cannon against a fly. You want to know why she's so powerful against them? Jesus has told every single demon, you must obey her and whatever she tells you. That's why. He trusts her. Every single demon has been told by Christ himself, you must obey everything this woman tells you. That's why she has power. And I don't know of an exorcist. I have a former student that's an exorcist, and they all tell me when Mary shows up, these creatures are shivering. They hate her because a lesser creature has power over them. And yet they have to obey because Jesus told them to. And they don't have a choice about that. Mary has grown more powerful than them because she's in Christ. You know, she has received so much power that in comparison to what power Joseph Stalin received, it's like a drop of water compared to the ocean. That little bit of power of Joseph Stalin went so much to his ego that he killed millions of people with it. It doesn't go to Mary's head. She's humble. She's loving. She's kind. Until one of these beasts gets on our trail and starts to come between us and Christ, she's not so kind anymore. She's not so kind anymore. Same with Saint Joseph. And there we are. We can grow in power to outgun Satan himself. God sent his only son into the world so that we might have life through him. And so many people today are saying no to Christ, and they're dead and vulnerable to the architect of death. And I'll tell you right now, there's a lot of people that have gone down some very dark paths as a result. And they're hurting so many people, because dead people hurt people. And Christ has come to bring us alive. And that's the purpose of his coming. We gain power, yes. He shared his power with Padre Pio. Padre Pio went hand to hand with the devil and defeated him. What? How's that possible? Padre Pio was in Christ. That's how it's possible. A human being never beats a seraphim, ever, unless you're in Christ. And the lowest angel, guardian angel, all of us have a guardian angel here. The lowest guardian angel in the hierarchy of angels that's in Christ is way more powerful than Satan, even though on the level of nature, he's outgunned. But in Christ, completely defeated because of what happened on the cross. Brothers and sisters, what are we doing? What are we doing by going after all these things about the world and running away from the blood of the Lamb that completely vanquished these powers? And when we come to this Eucharist today, we are covered in the blood of the Lamb as we walk out that church door, shouting out, "Back off! He's mine. She's mine." We need to get on board, brothers and sisters, in this love. Remain in my love, because that's protection. And you go down the dark path, and you start wanting to do it on your own, and before you know it, you're a dead person. You're becoming hateful, resentful. Maybe you want to hurt someone. You're going to start lashing out. God only knows. You've seen it. We've all heard about it. We've read about it in the papers. And it all began when they turned away from the Son of God. Come to us in Christ Jesus. Our world is not a better place for doing that, brothers and sisters. We need Jesus, because there's real power there for growing life instead of death, for growing hope instead of despair, for growing in love instead of hatred. And yes, he shares his power with us, not to fan our own ego, but to lay it down in service of the good of others and promoting that. And if you do that, I'm telling you right now, the power of Christ will even give you life in eternity.